When it comes to Christmas, when it comes to the story of the birth of Jesus Christ, the birth of our Savior, the birth of our King, absolutely nothing is man-made about that. And I think we get kind of lost in thinking that somehow there is. You know, one of the most widely debated stories throughout all of Scripture is the virgin birth of Jesus. I mean, there are people who claim to be theologians that argue against the inerrancy of Scripture because of the virgin birth of Jesus. Churches have split over this. Men have taken that argument to their grave, unfortunately. And when we sit down and have conversations with people who have a hard time just wrapping their mind and wrapping their brain around the truthfulness of Scripture, without a doubt, undoubtedly, Matthew 1:18 and Luke 1:31 through 35 are going to come to mind, and they're going to come up in those conversations. Now, the birth of Jesus took place in this way, and when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Then Luke 1:31 through 35. And behold, so Gabriel is speaking here, and he says, the angel, he says, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And we think back, just think back to all of the stories that we read throughout all of Scripture. Just to name a few, I mean, Noah and the ark, the parting of the Red Sea, manna raining down from heaven, Jonah being swallowed by a huge fish, Jesus turning water into wine, Jesus walking on water, calming the sea, the feeding of the multitudes, the story of Lazarus, a barren woman advanced in her years becoming pregnant. Lazarus, story of Lazarus. Jesus conquering death. We think about all of these stories, and the one that people argue the most against, that they can't wrap their brain around, is how a virgin could have a child. Yeah, and here for me, I think for all of us, what that should do is just make us praise Jesus for the faith he's given us. The fact that I can open this book and just have the faith that all of this, that all 66 books in here are truth. And I don't believe that because, like, it's my power that makes me believe that. Like, God has thankfully given me the faith to understand that all of this is truth. It will always be truth. It always has been truth. And there's no way it will ever not be truth. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not on your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. The faith that we have, such a blessing and a gift from God. If we were to back up in the book of Luke, Luke starts out by telling us about the upcoming birth of John the Baptist. And the message that the angel Gabriel brings to the priest Zechariah. And really, this is the first time. So John the Baptist is the first prophet that we see in 400 years. There's just been these 400 years of prophetic silence. And so picking up in Luke 1:26 through 27, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So, 6 months. This is 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy. All right, this isn't the sixth month of the year. This is 6 months into Elizabeth's pregnancy. The Lord sends his angel Gabriel to Nazareth, which is about 75 miles north of Jerusalem. Y'all don't ask me how I figured out how to do that on my iPhone. It took me a long time. I should have just asked my kids to do it for me. They would have done it in like 30 seconds. So a city of Galilee named Nazareth. The NASB, the ESV, as well as some other translations use the word city. There's some translations that don't, but I think we need to be careful there, because naturally I think that lots of times when we hear the word city, we think of this really well-known place that has thousands of people. There's lots of trade going on. Think of Atlanta, right? But this, Nazareth, very small place. Doubtful that there's over 150 people there total. There's probably 100 to 150, 200 people at the most would have lived in Nazareth at the time. And not only was it a small little town, not only was it small and unknown, it was in Galilee, which was referred to as Galilee of the Nations, which also means Galilee of the Gentiles. See in Isaiah 9:1, but there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in a later time he has made glorious way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Nations. Now, if we really want to see how insignificant Nazareth is, if we really want to see how it's viewed, look at John 1:45 through 46. We see Nathanael's response to Philip here, and this is what he said. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, this is what Nathanael replies to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Jesus." But this is how Nazareth was viewed. And it would have naturally been assumed that God would have delivered this message to Jerusalem. That's where the temple was. That's where the temple stood. That's where he delivered the message to Zechariah. When he comes to Zechariah, he said, hey, John the Baptist is going to come. He's in the temple. And I think there's two things that we take from this right here. Sometimes, I would even go as far, oftentimes, the Lord shows up in unexpected places. The Lord shows up in unexpected places. But here's the other thing is Jesus came to save all people. He came to save all people. He came to save Jews. He came to save Gentiles. That means he came to save you and he came to save me. He came to save students at Hillsman Middle School and Cedar Shoals High School. He came to save students at the University of Georgia. He came to save those who were in Clark County. He came to save everybody on the planet. First Timothy 2, 5 through 6. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. I think this is why he doesn't deliver this message to Jerusalem. Now, Mary. Reagan, would you come up here real quick? Now, oftentimes we see pictures, paintings of what Mary would have looked like. And oftentimes that is not what Mary would have looked like, because we see this 28, 30-year-old with a halo around her head, holding this little baby with a halo over his head. Now, Mary obviously wouldn't have physically looked like Reagan here. She wouldn't have had blue eyes and blondish hair and this color skin. But Mary, Jewish tradition, Mary was probably 12 to 14 years old when she was betrothed to Joseph. This is my daughter. She'll be 12 here in a few months. And I think, man, here's Mary. Thanks. Here's Mary, a 12, maybe 13-year-old young girl, who is about to be married. She's about to be married. See, this formal agreement had been made between Joseph's father and Mary's parents. More than likely, there's a good chance that Joseph had some say in that, especially in this small little town. Everybody's been to a small little town, right? You know everybody. You know everybody. Anybody heard of, I think there's a town called Between, right? And when you drive through Between, I don't even know where it starts and ends, because it's like the length of a car. Like when you drive through that. I mean, you think about Nazareth, like, we need to be thinking like 100, 150 people, tops. Small, little, unknown place. In this betrothal, it lasted for a year. And it's not the same as we think of engagement. Like, this is a binding agreement. It is binding. It's like legal. The only way to get out of that is death and literally divorce. So this is binding. And it's also important to note that during this betrothal, this is important, sexual contact wasn't made. They weren't living together yet. It wouldn't have been made at all through this period. It's important for us to remember that. Now also, Joseph, through his lineage, was a descendant of David. If we would go back to the first 17 verses in Matthew 1, Jesus' ancestry is traced through Joseph back to David. Now we say, well, why? How is that possible if Jesus wasn't the physical son of Joseph? Well, because here's the deal. Jewish tradition and Joseph's adoption of Jesus made Jesus a legal part of his lineage. It's important for us. So Jeremiah 23, 5 through 6. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. And he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Now there's a whole lot there. And we can spend a whole lot of time tracing back this lineage. But here's what I think it boils down to. Here's what we need to take from this today. God had a plan. God still has a plan. And God's plan was, his plan is, and it will always be perfect. His plan has been perfect since the beginning of time, and his plan is perfect today. And that directly applies to your life personally, to my life personally, and to Life Church of Athens. God has a plan, and it is perfect. Luke 1, 28 through 33. This is Gabriel coming to Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High and the Lord of God, and will give him, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Now, here's Mary. Just picture this for a minute. Here's Mary, 12, 13 years old. I'll probably hanging out around the house doing some chores. Most archaeologists say there's probably, I think there's one place to draw water in all of Nazareth. She could have been there. She's probably daydreaming about Joseph, right? I guess that's what little girls do. Guys don't daydream about weddings and stuff. She's probably daydreaming about Joseph. She's thinking about this marriage ceremony that's coming up. She's thinking about the upcoming year. Well, what's marriage going to be like? Like, in her mind, she probably has most things figured out. in her mind. She knows she's getting married. She knows who she's getting married to. Like, the date's been set. Everything's set in stone. She's got life kind of figured out at 12, 13 years old. And she certainly wasn't thinking about an angel showing up. She wasn't expecting it. And she absolutely wasn't expecting an angel to show up and be like, hey, I'm just going to let you know, you're going to have the Son of the Most High. You're pregnant. Like, and she's greatly perplexed. She's scared. She's frightened. And this shows the humility that she had. You see, Mary understands. She understood. She's a sinner. She gets it. There's nothing about Mary that places her on a pedestal, if you will. This is important. She's not co-mediator with Jesus. She is not co-redeemer with Jesus. She does not pour out grace. She received grace. This is why we don't pray to Mary. And get this, I want you to take this away. God's favor, write this down. God's favor is not merited on age, wealth, cultural background, works, circumstances, the color of our skin. Romans 3, 20 through 24. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. Since through the law come knowledge of sin, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Big word, circle all. For there is no distinction, for all, circle it again, have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I try to put myself in like Mary's sandals here for just a second. Now, you're hanging out in, I don't know, you're hanging out in the living room. You have a pile of laundry that you're about to start folding. It is this high, right? I don't know. You've named it Mount Foldamore. It's like higher than Everest. It's piled up all week because you haven't had time to get to it. And an angel shows up in your living room. And in our language, he would have been like, what's up? That's what it would have been like. Hey, what's up, favored one? I'd be greatly troubled as well. And just like we wouldn't expect an angel to show up in our living room, Mary wasn't expecting an angel to show up with her either. Here's something important about this. We need to remember, and I'm reminded of this often in my personal life, there's a very good chance that our personal plans don't match up with the plans that the Lord has for us. And sometimes, and this is okay, sometimes plans change. They just do. And change can be a very scary thing. That's a scary word for a lot of us. But change isn't always a bad thing. A bad thing is disobedience. change isn't always a bad thing. And sometimes we think, oh, we've got everything planned out, and then it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't. And that's okay. My two oldest are sitting right here, Mason and Reagan, they're right here. And my wife and I, you know what, we were like, all right, we've got two, we're done. We sold all the baby stuff. There wasn't a crib, there wasn't a crib mattress, there wasn't a pacifier in the house. Like, all of that stuff we had gotten rid of and given it away. We were like, done having kids, all right? Shannon's not in here, but she'll tell you, I woke up on a Sunday morning, literally, I woke up on a Sunday morning, I looked at her, and I said, hey, by the way, you're pregnant. True story. And she laughed at me and said, that's not a funny joke. And I said, okay. Literally, like, this is not a joke. The next day, Monday afternoon, she calls me. She's like in hysterics, crying. And I rush home, and I'm like, what's going on? She's like, I'm pregnant. And I'm like, I told you yesterday. Now, I think the Lord, like, just prepared me for that because it's a big change. But little Kirsten has been such a blessing to us. She's not little anymore. Such a blessing to us. Change isn't always a bad thing. And whether it's something like that or whether it's something where the Lord just is like, hey, you know what? It's time to sell the house and go to Southeast Asia. Like, big change, right? It's okay. There might be a chance where the Lord's like, hey, you know what? It's been really cool that y'all have been meeting right off Ware Street. But I've provided this place over here on this part of Athens. That's okay. It's okay. And look at Mary's response to the angel here in verse 34. Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I am a virgin? Now, Mary's response to Gabriel here is a whole lot different than Zechariah's response to Gabriel earlier in the chapter. You see, his response to Gabriel comes from unbelief. Mary's response to Gabriel is just, it's different. It's just a question. Zechariah's response is much different. Look at this in verses 18 through 20. And Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife is advanced in years. It's a question of unbelief that he has right here. The angel answered him, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. So we don't need to mistake Mary's asking a question as a form to unbelief. It's not. It's not that she doesn't believe what Gabriel told her. She just doesn't understand how it's going to happen. She believes him. She just doesn't understand how's it going to happen. She's a virgin. Now, questions don't automatically correlate to unbelief. It's okay to have questions. It's possible to have faith and at the same time ask questions. We see it, this perfect example in Mary's response. I think that the more we study the Word of God, the more we're going to have questions, and the more we dive into answering those questions, the closer we're going to know Jesus. It's okay to have questions. We just don't ask those questions in the way that Zechariah did. That's why the title of the sermon, Say What? It has a question mark and an exclamation point. There's two ways to ask that. There's two ways to say it. Now, side note, if you are a parent of a teenager down, like if your children are already out of the house, don't block me out all the way, but parents of teenagers and children, and those of you who plan to be parents in the future, this is for you. I want you to take this away. Pay just special attention to this. Now remember, how old is Mary? She's like 12, maybe 13 years old right here. She asked this question because she's a virgin, and she understands that virgins don't get pregnant. Why am I saying that? For the past 7 years of my life, I have invested my life into ministering to preteens and teenagers. Parents, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. They know how it works. They do. 12-year-olds understand how someone gets pregnant. Here's why I say that. Please, please, please have conversations with your children before somebody else does. Please. They're not as naive as you think they are. Mary, 12, 13 years old, did not have one of these to look everything up. She knew how people got pregnant. Have conversations with your children before someone else does. And in those conversations, teach them what this says about marriage. Teach them what it says about sex. Teach them, teach them, teach them. They understand more than you think. I promise. Years ago, I saw a pregnant sixth grader. You're talking about an 12-year-old girl, pregnant. Have conversations with your children, please. So Gabriel answers Mary here in verses 35 through 37, and the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." This right here, this is why we celebrate Christmas. The child that Mary would give birth to was absolutely God manifested in flesh. Now, speaking of babies, we have a lot of new babies here at Life Church. Two this week. Myself, I'm not gifted with changing diapers, like y'all know that. It's not my thing. Some of you are. And I promise you, Like if somebody brings their child here and they drop them off in the nursery, when they go and get their child after service, if their child is upset, they're upset. If mama's not happy, nobody's happy, right? Now, if you feel like you are led to help out in the nursery or to help out with children, we have an amazing children's minister. Her name is Erin Murray. She's right back there. Wave your hand, Erin. Talk to her. Like, I promise you, she'll would love to have you help in those areas. Promise. We need the help. Now see, we oftentimes forget that Jesus was a baby. He was an infant. Mary, like, literally, she gives birth to him. He was dependent upon her for food. He cried when he was hungry. I don't know what diapers looked like back then. I don't know how they didn't have duct tape or anything to hold them on. I don't know how that worked. But Mary obviously would have changed his diapers. She would have, just to be blunt, she would have wiped his bottom. She dressed him. She taught him how to tie his sandals. They didn't have Velcro back then. Like, it's okay if your kindergartner doesn't know how to tie his shoes or her shoes. You're like, all right, hey, we'll just get you some shoes that are Velcro. And it's good, right? Somebody taught him how to tie his sandals. And as he grew older, Joseph taught him how to work with his hands. He undoubtedly played with other children as a child. I'm sure that he fell down and scraped his knee. Probably more than once. This is why I say all that. Jesus is absolutely 100% man and 100% God. He is not partially God and partially man. Colossians 2:9, "For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." 100% man, 100% God. I think C.S. Lewis said it best. If you haven't read Mere Christianity, I challenge you to do it. This is what C.S. Lewis is quoted in there saying, "The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God." This is why we celebrate Christmas. Let's say it one more time. The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God. And then in verses 36 through 37, Gabriel continues on and he says, "And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." Now, this is huge. "For nothing will be impossible with Nothing is impossible with God. See, God is not bound by laws of nature. He's not bound by time or space. He's sovereign. He's almighty. He's all powerful. He's the ruler of the universe. And that's why I'm so excited about the future of Life Church. I'm excited because nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. Parking lot issues aren't an obstacle for God. It was pretty cold in here last week. I think, was the heat messed up? He was broken. It's okay. Like, not, got, a broken heater, a broken furnace doesn't stop the Lord. Nothing is impossible with God. And knowing this truth, look at Mary's response. Because she understands this. And she knows this. Heather, you can come up. Mary's response here in verse 38. And Mary said, this is incredible. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Mary's like, look, I get it. So let it be. Let it be. There's no doubt. There's no doubt that Mary understood the worldly difficulties that she would possibly face here. They were huge. What's Joseph going to say? Is he going to leave me? She certainly understood the law. Now, the law said that by law, adultery was punishable by death. Like, they could have, if they had found her guilty of adultery, they could have taken her out and stoned her to death. That's a pretty big deal. She understood how society would view her, possibly. She got it. But her response, I'm a servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. So, when we ask the question, when we say what? How do we say it? Do we say that with a question mark? Do we say it with an exclamation mark? You know, for some in the room today, for a long time you've heard about saving grace of Jesus and who he is and what he's done for you. And for a while now, you've said, say what? And you've put a question mark after that. Maybe that's changed today. Maybe you put an exclamation mark at the end of that. And you're excited about being his disciple. And if that is you, I want to encourage you to find a life group leader, one of our elders. Come talk to me. Talk to Nolan when he gets back. We want to help you through that process and talk to you about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And we also want to help shepherd you in that process and disciple you. Part of being part of Life Church. And on top of that, undoubtedly, there's some hurt that goes on this time of year. We were talking earlier this morning, and there's people here that have lost loved ones, and things just kind of rear their ugly heads this time of year. There's just some loneliness that comes around that just... So I want to say two things to that. If that's you, and this is just a hard season for you, there's a lot of shoulders in the room. Jesus is much bigger than those problems and pains. He's much bigger. And he gets it. He understands it. And remember, the reason that he understands it is because he's not just 100% God. He is also 100% man. I just encourage you to cling hold of him this season. And remember, don't get wrapped up. Don't get wrapped up in the busyness. Don't get wrapped up in presents, trees. I'm not saying those are bad things in and of themselves, but don't allow yourself to put those things in front of celebrating the birth of our Savior. Father, please, I thank you again for this time that we've had this morning, Lord. And thank you for your word. For the fact, Father, that you sent your Son to become a man so we could become your sons and daughters. Incredible gift, Lord. Thank you so much for that, Lord. Lord, as we come in contact with people, as we go out and do Christmas shopping, Father, as we go to Christmas parties, Lord, as we do all of those just kind of Christmassy things that we do, Father, help us not forget why it is that we celebrate Christmas, but also, Father, would you give us the courage to share that wonderful news with our loved ones, Father, with those that we have conversations with that are on the other side of a cash register, Father, would you just press upon us the importance, Father, of sharing that wonderful news of Jesus and why it is that we truly celebrate Christmas, Father. There's so much to be thankful for, Lord. And we know, Father, you're sovereign over all things. And you work all things for the good of those who love you. And we thank you for that promise. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.